Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
And good Saturday morning to you, Bobby.
Well, how are you today?
I'm doing fine.
How you don't look tense and upset the way everybody did yesterday.
No, I'm not. And we have an awful lot that we're going to talk about today on the show. I think this is probably one of the more important shows we've had all year long. And so we've got a lot to cover, and I hope that you stay with us the entire show because we've got some very important things that we're going to be discussing. So good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks, and thanks so much for joining us this morning. As we saw, the Dow Jones did finish positive yesterday, now sits at 11,444. The NASDAQ was down about 24 points, sits at 2532, and the S&P 500, well, it was just fractionally down and just got under that 2,000 mark. We also saw that natural gas was unchanged at $3.94. Oil was down, up 25 cents a barrel. It now sits at $86.88. Gas futures rose 6 cents to $2.80. Don't ask me why. I have no way to explain this. Gas at the pumps this morning will be $3.69. Even with a 25 cent decrease this week, we actually saw a rise in prices earlier in the week with a small decrease. And gold was down $7.40 and now sits at $1,648.80 an ounce. We saw the two-year bond is at 0.28%, the five-year at 1.25, the 10-year at 2.86, and the 30-year now sits at 3.85%. The VIX, the volatility index measure, was up 34 cents. It now sits at $32 even. As you can tell, there's been some volatility in the markets with that number. Where were we sitting a couple of weeks ago? Down around 15s and 16. During the week here, of course, we had some news. The Congress finally got together on a bill earlier this week, which we're going to talk about. We also saw that the Commerce Department said the personal spending fell by 0.2% in June. That was compared to economist expectations for a 0.1% increase. We also saw that personal income edged up by 0.1%. We also saw the Institute of Supply Management for Manufacturing. Well, that index dropped to 50.9 in July from a 53.3 reading in June. And the non-manufacturing index also edged down to 53 in July from a 53.3 reading in June also. And we got the new initial jobs claims on Thursday. We edged down to 400,000 even from the previous week's revised figure, 401,000. Economists had been expecting that jobs claims number to rise a little bit. And we also saw the big jobs report that came out yesterday. Headline number was 117,000 new jobs that were created, 154,000 in the private sector. And we also saw the unemployment rate dropped from 9.2 to 9.1%. And so we're going to go ahead and quickly get to commercial break because when we come back, we've got an awful lot that we're going to cover about these markets this week. We'll be right back. And we welcome you back on this August Saturday morning. And let's go ahead and get right to it. The markets have been absolutely awful the past 2 weeks. And well, we have to go back a week when this first really started, the last week there in July. And really the catalyst that began the downturn in the market had to do with this ridiculous reality TV that we were watching with Washington. Now, this is a money show, and unfortunately with our country and the politics that we have in this country, it affects our money very closely, and that's why so often I have to talk about things and to let you know what's going on. Now, also remember, too, I do not take sides here with Democrats and Republicans, but I'm going to point out things, And whoever it is, they're the ones that are going to be pointed out. When they do dumb and stupid things, we're going to make issue with that. And I don't care if they're Democrat or Republicans. What's going on in Washington, what we saw through the month of July, was absolutely disgraceful. Both parties, absolutely disgraceful. We were the laughingstock of the world. We can't even get our own house in order. And to bring this down to the very last minute, there was absolutely no reason and no call for that. The commission that we had last year, the Simpson-Bowles Commission, brought out a suggested program that would have sufficed very nicely for both parties to get this done, and also to approach the problems that we have in this country today. The biggest problems that we have is our debt, and that is going to be the overall message when we look at what's going on around the world here. I think the show today can be entitled, "We're Mad as Hell and We're Not Going to Take It Anymore." I think as Americans, everybody on the street, I'm amazed at the number of people that have been paying attention to this and what is going on in Washington. And then as soon as we get a bill, to hear people like the Vice President of the United States calling it evil or more evil, calling it a negotiation with terrorists, referring to the Republicans. I mean, okay, let's get even down in the dirt even worse and start name-calling each other in Washington. This is absolutely hysterical, it's ridiculous, and it's disgusting. We should get all 535 people of Congress, just get rid of them all. I just as soon put in and get 535 Marines, officers, put them in place. At least we know that they're willing to lay down their life for Americans. They've got a nice education background for them, and I think maybe they could do a much better job than what our politicians are doing in Washington. Here was an opportunity to finally broach the subject of what the problem is here in the United States. Too much spending, too much debt, and if we don't take care of this issue now, we're going to be another Greece. We're going to be another Italy. We're going to be another Spain, and we're right down the road from them. And here was an opportunity, and instead we got this watered-down version of what they're going to end up doing. Now, first of all, and please don't shoot the messenger, we have been overpromised and overpromised and overpromised with packages and programs from politicians looking to buy votes from constituents out there, and we're at the day where those promises can no longer be met. Yes, we have to talk about Social Security. Yes, we have to change Medicare. Yes, we have to change Medicaid. And in most cases, those that will be the least affected are you folks that are already on these programs, already retired. You will feel the pain less than anybody else out there. But changes have to be made. Medicare is going to drive this country into the ground if it is not addressed. What is $2 trillion with the amount of debt that we have out there? It is absolutely nothing. We just got downgraded last night by S&P 500 from a AAA to a AA+. We had a feeling that this was going to come, and I cannot blame them, because what we got out of Washington in this deal was not enough. And so what's going to happen now? We're going to get interest rates that'll probably rise. And if you look at the debt and the amount of interest that we're paying, over the next 10 years, if we just get back to normal interest rates in this country, that alone is going to raise our debt interest expenses by over $2 trillion. Not only that, we see Monday night that the House of Representatives skedaddles out of town as fast as they can without taking care of this FAA program problem. There go another 70,000 people that are now furloughed and are not working, when we have the basic crisis in this country at the moment of getting people back to work. What is going on with these people in Washington, and what are they thinking? That is what caused the first week of downturns in the markets. This week, after we got the program voted on and put into place, you started to look at what was going on around the world. Europe is a tremendous problem that is weighing on our markets currently because of the debt that they have over in Europe. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we're not far behind, and we better start looking at this. Why did not the Congress look at the Simpson Bowl? I know that the president just kind of shuffled this off to the side like it meant nothing. And to hear the president now come out yesterday with the jobs report and talk about, we need to come together. We need to hire the vets coming back over here from the war. These big corporations need to basically be patriotic and hire these vets that are coming back. Excuse me, Mr. President? The same people you're asking now to be American and to be patriotic are the same people that you've been demonizing for the past 2.5 years? These millionaires and billionaires, all of a sudden you want them to take the cash of their corporations and forget about being profitable and do what's American and patriotic? Very ironic. I'll tell you, it's a big problem here. And what it's causing is it's causing frustration and it's causing problems and anxieties for all of us as Americans. And what happened to the markets this past week? Well, as we all saw, they lost another 5%. They lost another 5% after a 4% loss the week before. We are now down 14% from the highs of April this year. 14%. We're in that correction mode, that correction territory. What are we going to do about that? Well, we have to take a look at where the country is today and what we need to do with our investments. That's exactly what we're going to do when we come back from these commercial breaks. We'll be right back.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at professormoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-5090. With more of Money Talks on 5090 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. And the markets have been in turmoil. What do we do at this particular point in time? Is it a time to panic? Should you sell? Well, first of all, I want to state that I'm a realist, and I'm a realist with an optimistic viewpoint. And it's amazing how many times I've had to change the show and what I was going to talk about this week as different events occurred throughout the week. From the very beginning, from some of the things we saw basically pertaining to what happened with this debt deal in Washington, I have to admit that I've had to revise my long-term outlook on some things. You have to. You just can't sit there and pretend to have rose-colored glasses on, as some people do, and forget that there's any type of problems out there. We're always going to have problems. We've mentioned that before. But is it a time to panic? No. It is absolutely not a time to panic. Let's take a look at some things. First of all, as I was watching what was happening Thursday with the 500-point drop in the markets, I have to tell you that I was comfortably very relaxed at watching what was going on, because Thursday was nothing more than a day of panic selling, of fear in the markets. It's the first time in a long time that I actually say I could feel some capitulation out there in the markets. People just wanting to get out because of the turmoil that they've gone through the preceding 9 trading days. And as I look at it, you have to stand back and look at the facts and what's going on out there. And basically, you have to look at, first of all, where are we with our economy? No, things aren't going gangbusters. No, we're not China. No, we don't have a nice, strong 4 or 5% growth in this country. What we do have, though, is we have lean and mean corporations that got burnt very badly in 2008 and 2009, running with fewer employees, making record profits, holding record cash, and getting top-line earnings that are still exceeding expectations. And when it comes down to the value of a stock of a company, it's going to be based on earnings. And as we look at things, What I saw over the past 2 weeks is I saw if I'm going to look for a correction to occur, this is the best way to set up a correction. Now, where do we sit and what exactly do we do beginning Monday? That's what we're going to talk about. We come back after the news and weather.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-5090 with more of Money Talks on 5090 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. And Bobby, because of the golf tournament out at Firestone, the joke this week is about a man who goes to heaven. And he's asked what he would like to do. And he says, I love golf. Okay, says St. Peter, here's a set of clubs and our most experienced caddy. He's 118 years old. 118 years old, protests the man. How good can he be? Well, his eyesight is incredible. You hit the ball as far as you can and he'll see it. Well, they get up to the first tee and the man, an experienced golfer, whacks the ball 350 yards. He turns to the caddy. Did you see it? He asked. Sure did, said the caddy. Well, where is it? Asked the man. And the caddy says, I forgot. A little problem with memory, but anyway. All right, let's get back to what we're supposed to do with these markets as they are. What have we talked about? If you've been listening to the show the last number of weeks, we said we were looking for a good entry point. Good entry point to put some new money to work here. And guess what? Well, as I saw the markets fall Thursday, 500 points, I started to do some buying. I did a little bit of buying yesterday. It's going to be interesting to see what happens Sunday night. We already saw yesterday, which that was one of the reasons the markets turned, this promise of the European Union to start buying some of Italy's debt, some of their notes over there. And if we can get some global cooperation in these different governments buying some of these bonds of Italy's and of Spain's, and to really take care or help to take care of some of their problems over there, we have a good catalyst to really start to see this market turn. Not only that, if you look at a normal historic event when it comes to what happens in the markets, what a correction does, we were down basically to a low of 14% in the S&P with trading yesterday. Is this the time that the market should turn? Well, you know, it's like asking if you have a crystal ball. But if you look at what should occur as far as what's taking place with historic events, next week should also be a good buying opportunity to start moving money into the markets. This is with fresh capital. Is this the time to sell? I would say very strongly, absolutely not. Do not sell your investments. Remember, we are all long-term investors. What happens in a single day, a single week, a single month does not affect us long-term. People who try to time the markets and get out because they see the markets falling and try to get back in when the markets are going up miss out. They miss out on the moves in the markets, particularly the strong moves upward. Most of the people that try to time the markets are losers. The majority, high 90%. And unexpectedly, what happens is either A, they buy high and they sell low and they never move forward or prosper, or B, they end up getting a reduced overall return than what they could have had. We've already seen it with the statistics that are out by the mutual fund companies that say, you know, the average investor will actually realize roughly about one-third what the actual mutual funds will get as far as a gain because they're trading too often. They're getting in and they're getting out, particularly at the wrong times. This is not 2008, and I want to emphasize that very strongly. This is not 2008. There is absolutely no similarity with what went on in 2008. In 2008, we were way over leveraged. There were problems with corporations. too much fat in the system. There was not enough cash, too many employees. If you recall, GM went bankrupt, AIG went bankrupt, Wachovia problems, the run on Washington Mutual, Lehman Brothers failure, the TARP program of money that had to go into the financial systems. We were a mess. This is not 2008. This is 2011. In fact, this is a lot more similar to what happened last year, if you remember. We had a bad August, and we had a phenomenal September. August was down, if I recall my numbers correctly, roughly around 9%. And we had a nice 10, 11% growth in September. When I mentioned earlier in the show, if I'm setting up a correction, this is the way I like to see it. I like to see it quick. This was quick over a two-week period. I don't want to see it drawn out over a couple months of a period. I want to see a good catalyst. We had good catalyst in the problems we had with the crybabies in Washington and the European debt crisis. So we had good catalyst along with some slowing economic data. And this is setting up so that we have some nice entry points and we will see a rebound in the markets. I want to read to you something. This is not mine. This is a third party. This is from Bloomberg. Wall Street has never been more sure that the Standard & Poor's 500 index will rally in 2011. This was written, by the way, yesterday morning. Even after speculation that the U.S. economy is heading for a recession prompt the biggest plunge since the bull market began. Chief strategist at 13 banks, from Barclays to UBS AG, see the benchmark measure of American equity surging 17% through December 31st of this year, the average estimate in the Bloomberg survey. Their projection that the index will reach 1,400 has not budged in 4 weeks, while mounting concerns that the U.S. growth is slowing drove the S&P down 11% since July 22nd. Including yesterday's 4.8% tumble. Again, this was written yesterday. The 4.8 is referring to the close on Thursday. I'm reluctant to overreact to shorter-term weakness, no matter how real it is, because the markets have proven to be unbelievably resilient. That was stated by Jonathan Golub. Golub says the S&P 500 won the year at 1425 is his projection, and these are some of the top financial companies and banks that are out there. As we look at it, and again, I've told you I've revised my long-term outlook, and basically this is what I'm looking at. I still expect the fourth quarter to be the strongest quarter of this year. I still expect us to get out around 1,400. If you look at the multiples and the earnings of the corporations, they're very strong, and I think that that's a real possibility of where we could end up by the end of the year. I also want to bring out something that I have to mention in regards to next year, that there is a possibility of a recession. Before July, I would have said no. Now, when I look at what's going on in Washington, and again, that's why we have to bring it in to the conversation, we have the super committee that's going to be formed, and they're supposed to have some things done in November. If we get more turmoil, if we get more problems with these super committees and some other functions out of Washington, we could be thrown into a recession next year. Now, I think the probability at this point is relatively low. I would put a number on it of somewhere around 15 to 20%. I don't think it's a high probability. As a matter of fact, if a couple of things actually go right, which we have more of a probability of things going right since most of the bad news is already priced in, we could actually see some nice strength as we get into next year. And next year could be a better year than what's currently anticipated. I will say that for over the next number of years, you should expect an average overall return that's lower than what historically we've seen. And that a lot has to do with policy out of Washington. I am still 100% convinced that our high unemployment is due to the two basic measures of Washington policy, of the health reform care bill and of the financial reform bill that we had last July. CEO after CEO after CEO has pointed out that exact fact. That is the reason that they will not hire, is because of the unknowns. And when corporations, when the CEOs say that, I tend to listen because so many have mentioned the same fact. We need to get some finalization in that Dodd-Frank bill. We need to know, corporations need to know what things are going to cost, what rules they're going to have to follow, and on and on and on. Once they do that, if the consumer is still buying, the corporations will hire because they know that they need to continue to innovate. They need to be one up on their competitors and so forth, and we could get this upward spiral. I'm very disappointed in Washington at this point, as we now hear them saying jobs need to be number one focus. Excuse me, we knew that years ago. And so hopefully something can be resolved. Like I said, the bottom line is we need to stay in, stay invested. It's long term. This is not the time to get out. There's nothing really to be overly concerned about. Does that mean that the markets couldn't go down next week? Absolutely not. We have some serious problems in Europe that have to be tended to. And as a global economy, we are tied to what happens in Europe. But I think that these are great entry points. Even if the market were to go down a few more percentage points, we still are buying in at this point at a nice 12% discount. I like discounts. I don't want to pay full price for things. And I think that, of course, over the long term, anybody that puts new money to work now are going to be handsomely rewarded down the road. What did we talk about on this show 2 years ago, back in March of 2009? And look where we came from that point. Even now today, with the markets being down, we're still up almost double where we were 2 years ago. These are long-term investments, folks. You all know that. I hope that our radio listeners out there stay calm, cool, and collected, because this is not the time to panic. This is not 2008, and our companies are in very good shape financially. Well, let's go ahead and have some fun. It's time for the Money Talks Quiz of the Week. Three easy questions for breakfast at Bob Evans. 330-370-1590 is the number here in the studio. 330-370-1590. We're just going to take a random caller this week. How about that? We'll be right back after these commercials.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks Quiz of the Week. And Bobby, who's our contestant?
This is Ron. He's from Akron. How are you this morning, Ron?
I'm a cockeyed optimist.
I like that.
Good morning, Ron. It's been a while since we've heard from you.
It has been. I thought it's about time that I need to get something to eat.
Okay.
Maybe I can win a quiz. It can't hurt in this economy.
That's true. Yeah, Ron, do you have any?
Hey, you know what? By the way, I was listening to your program all morning long. I listen often, but I did start buying in last week.
Did you?
So I think people should take some heed in your words.
Well, I appreciate that, because I really think, you know, the best way to invest the market when you're a long-term investor is to look for these entry points, which are generally going to be close to around corrections, if not into correction period. And long-term, they certainly pay off, don't they?
Usually.
Usually they do.
Yeah.
Well, let me go ahead. I unfortunately have the easy questions for you today, Ron. I didn't bring my hard ones.
I'm feeling better now.
All righty. My question number one for you. For a retirement account, which of the following is generally the first one that you should have? Should it be a tax-deductible IRA, a CD IRA, or a 401k?
I'd say a 401k.
Absolutely. You're getting matching funds, and it's pre-tax. That's usually the first one you want to open. Very good. My second one for you is, which of the following is the best use of a lump sum of money? Pay off your home mortgage at 8%, invest in a stock with a 12% return, or pay off your credit card that charges you 18% annually?
All right. Otherwise, I'd go with the middle one, but I'd say the credit card debt.
Absolutely. You pay it off at 18. You just made 18% on your money. And my last one for you, Ron, mutual funds are given price values when? Throughout the day, twice daily, or once a day?
Once a day.
Once a day. Absolutely correct. At 4 o'clock when the market closes, it tallies it up. Well,
I can't believe it. You gave me nothing but easy ones right over the plate.
Okay, now let's see what he comes up with for this bonus round.
Well, we're going to put you in the bonus round, Ron. And my question for you is, before Ben Bernanke, who was the Fed chairman, there was Alan Greenspan.
And Paul Volcker before him.
Before Greenspan, there was Paul Volcker. Who was the Fed chairman before Mr. Volcker? Was it Mr. Martin, Mr. Burns, Mr. Miller, or Mr. Black?
Well, this is just a wild guess. I guess I'll go with Black because I don't know.
That's a good guess, but actually it was Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller was Fed chairman from 78 to 79, Mr. Burns from 70 to 78, Mr. Martin from 51 to 70, and your Mr. Black was Fed chairman in 1933 to 1934.
Now, was that even fair? Because Ron isn't even 30 years old. How would he know?
You're right. I'm not 30.
Well, you did a very nice job today, Ron. I'm going to send you out your card for breakfast to Bob Evans, get you something to eat, and I appreciate you being our caller. It's been a while, like I said, and I hope you enjoy your weekend.
Well, I didn't want to tap you too often, Professor Money, but maybe I'll call you and take you on my card to Bob Evans.
All righty. Well, thanks
we'll
so
together.
Much. All righty. Have a good day. Bye-bye now. And with that, we'll be right back after these commercial breaks. And we welcome you back to Money Talks. And a little word of advice: when the nightly news starts talking about the markets and the problems on Wall Street, turn it off and turn on a good movie, because we're long-term investors and it's really not going to matter to us over the long term. And remember this also, next week's going to be pretty interesting. I don't know which way it's going to go. We could have a real bump upwards. We could go down a little bit more. We could have a lot of volatility, maybe all three. But long-term, 30, 60 days from now, I think as we start to get into the fourth quarter, things are going to start to look a whole lot brighter. And another show's come to an end. It's been a pleasure to share the past hour with you. We always look at Capital Financial Group to work with you as your personal advisor. Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. 330-668-6991. Thanks so much for having us in today. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.